With the Sergeant Arms be instructed to bring in absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain is the Reverend Roger Almendinger from the Arlington Hills Lutheran Church in St. Paul.
Morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe. You have created us in your image and given us dominion over all that you have made. Continue to give us wisdom, reverence, and courage to protect and nurture all the gifts of your created order. May we be blessed to be a blessing. Lift up caring and informed citizens who will offer wise counsel and compassionate insight to these lawmakers. Guard the freedom of the press and amplify the voice of the poor. Keep us mindful that the common good depends on the welfare of the least of our brothers and sisters. Almighty God, bless these senators that they may do their work in a spirit of wisdom, charity, and justice. Give them authority to serve faithfully and to promote our common life. Guide whatever power they may have, not for personal glory or profit, but to serve the people of Minnesota. Help them govern so that the most vulnerable in our state might know justice, peace, and security. May we be blessed to be a blessing. And pour out your abundant blessings upon these senators, their staff members, all their loved ones. Keep them strong in body, mind, and spirit, wise in deliberation and discernment, bold in hope and vision, and rich in your extravagant love. In the name of God Most High, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Good, your wise message, yeah.
Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzold, Bonoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Dahl, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fischbach, Phoebe, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Keelash, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Parisot, Pogamiller, Pretner Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vanderveer, Vickerman, and Wieger.
Quorum is present. Today's Senate agenda will also include the addendum, which is also on the computer today. So keep that in mind, that the addendum is included with today's agenda. The first order of business is executive and official communications.
To the Governor, to the Senate, to the House of Representatives, this is to certify that the House of Representatives and the Senate in joint convention on Monday, March 9th, have elected as members of the Board of Regents of the University of Minnesota the following members, each to hold office for the term specified for each to begin upon election by the joint convention. Patricia Simmons, 1st Congressional District, 6 years. Richard Beeson, 4th Congressional District, 6 years. John Frobenius, 6th Congressional District, 6 years. Clyde Allen, 7th Congressional District, 6 years. Signed, James P. Metzen, President of the Senate. Margaret Anderson Kelleher, Speaker of the House of Representatives.
Okay, the next order of business is reports of committees.
Miscommunication. Mr. President.
Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, I move the committee reports printed in the agenda and the addendum be now adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Now, the next order of business will be second reading of Senate bills. They are printed on today's agenda. And keep in mind that there's one on the addendum. Without objection, second reading of Senate bills. Next order of business is second reading of House bills. They are printed on today's agenda without objection. Second reading of Senate of House bills. Next order of business is motions and resolutions. There are a number of motions, both on the agenda and the addendum. These are author's motions without objection. We'll take them as one motion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. A couple of Senator Saltzman, do you have a motion to make?
Yes, I do, Mr. President. I would like to move that Senate File 1052 be withdrawn from the Committee on Finance and referred to the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight.
Okay, this is, excuse me, your bill, Senator?
Yes, it is, Mr.
President, yeah.
President, and this is a bill that is on the statewide insurance for school employees. It would involve a study of this proposal, and it's going to state and local government first, as opposed to finance.
Okay, on the motion by Senator Saltzman, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate File 915 be withdrawn from the Committee on Finance and re-referred to the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight.
On the Dibble motion, Senator Dibble's motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Wager, do you have a motion to be read?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move that Senate File 954 be withdrawn from the Committee on Education and re-referred to the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight.
This is your bill, Senator Wager.
Yes, thank you. The bill addresses K-12 as well as early education, higher education, some concepts that would have an implication for review in the state local government.
Yeah, that's on that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. I think that's a good point. We talked about that the other day where the authors should give at least, you know, 5 or 10 words. I think Senator Senjum and Pogemiller and others kind of agreed that that we describe the legislation at least just a little bit. Senator Rummel, do you have a couple of motions to make?
Yes, Mr. President. I move that Senate File 1109 be withdrawn from the Committee on Education and re-refer to the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight. I am the author of the bill, and the bill creates a center for research and navigation on education issues.
Okay. On Senator Rummel's motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Rummel, another one.
Yes, Mr. President. Senate File Number 1113, I request that it be withdrawn from the Committee on Finance and re-refer to the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight. And this is a bill that sets up a commission that studies the future of public education.
Okay, on the Senator Rummel's motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Any other motions? The next, continuing under motions and resolutions, there are a number of resolutions printed on today's agenda. Without objection, these resolutions will be referred to the Rules Committee. Yeah. Remaining under motions without objection, we'll take up the Senate bill introductions. There are a few changes today. Page 4, Senate File 1371 will be sent to the Environment and Natural Resources Committee. And on page 6, Senate File 1395 to the Environment and Natural Resource Committee. On page 7, Senate File 1405, the Energy, will be referred to the Energy Committee. Page 9, Senate File 1420 will be sent to Taxes. And on page 12, Senate File 1448, I'll refer to the State and Local Government Operations Committee. On page 12, also Senate File 1446, to Business, Industry, and Jobs Committee. And on page 14, Senate File 1466, to State and Local Government Operations Oversight Committee. And there's one bill to be read at the desk.
Senators Cohen, Olson M., Fredrickson, Sharon, and Erickson-Ropes introduce Senate File Number 1481, a bill for an act relating to the budget reserve, modifying priorities for additional revenue and general fund forecasts, etc.
This bill will be referred to the Finance Committee. Without objection, first reading of Senate bills. Senator.
Mr. President,
Senator Pogabeller.
Mr. President, on remaining on motions, I move that the Senate take up the general orders calendar.
On the motion to take up the general orders calendar, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Two to zip. Senator Pogabeller.
Mr. President, I move the Senate do now resolve itself into a committee of the whole for the purposes of taking up the general orders calendar.
The motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Pogabeller.
Mr. President, members, I believe on your desk is a list of one, two, three, four, five bills. Number 22 on general orders, number 5 on general orders, number 9, number 12, and number 15. I would yield to Senator Bach on House File Number 392.
Senator, the first bill under discussion in the committee will be Number 22, House File 392, Senator Bach.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move when this committee do arise that House File 392 be recommended to pass.
Okay, I'm told this engrossment is at your desk or underneath. Senator Bach.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I originally introduced a federal conformity bill that the governor had signed off on, and the conformity provisions in here are exactly what was introduced, exactly what was proposed by the Department of Revenue, signed off on by the governor that you have in front of you today. There's a number of small conforming changes. The bill is revenue neutral. It does actually raise a little over $100,000 in the next couple of bienniums. To kind of go through them, there's a provision in here that allows for the military that allows them to use combat earnings in order to maximize their federal earned income tax credit. There is a couple other provisions as it relates to people in the military to take penalty-free withdrawals from their Roth IRAs. Allows a reservist to make penalty-free withdrawals from flexible spending arrangements that they have related to their payroll. It allows somebody in the Peace Corps to extend the time frame up to 10 years for them to exclude from capital gains the sale of their principal residence. And then there is a conformity provision as it relates to the exemption of bond interest sold for housing projects, and this is the provision you've probably heard about that Minnesota Housing Finance really wants, allows them to be exempted from the AMT for tax purposes. So members, that's about all that's in here. There's a lot of other federal conformity provisions that we could consider, but they all cost money, and we may consider some of those other provisions later in the session, depending on if we're able to find some money to do them. Their federal conformity is never something that I think rises to a high level of interest until you start hearing from taxpayers when they file their federal return, and then when they go to file their state return, they have to add back deductions that they were able to take on their federal return. So even though oftentimes it's not very, doesn't get a lot of attention in the spending area, it's really important to taxpayers and accountants that prepare returns. So getting this done early in the session will help minimize the number of amended returns that have to be filed. And the second article in the bill, Mr. Chairman and members, I'm going to yield to Senator Scoy for. He has spent a great deal of time, members, on some revisions to the Green Acre provisions that we put into law last year. There's been a lot of angst out in the agriculture community about some of those changes. I think the Green Acres repeal bill was went through the Agriculture Committee and through the Environment Committee, and Senator Scoy worked a great deal with the department, with the different agriculture groups to find some agreement on how we could modify last year's provisions, and I think he's come with a very, very good solution to the Green Acres issue that you're hearing about from people back home. So I'd like to yield to Senator Scoy for Article 2.
Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Senator Bach. And members, I'm here with the Green Acres provisions for the third year in a row now. And so I don't know exactly how much in detail I should go into the history behind the reasons for the changes to Green Acres that have been proposed in 2007 and made in 2008, other than to say the legislative auditor's report shows that there was 30 counties or more that did not implement Green Acres across the state. And we had a large variability between the way the bill was being implemented in the counties that were implementing it between assessing practices. They did have some other recommendations dealing with removing of the income limits and other things that have been addressed. But suffice it to say that we felt that because of the ununiformity of implementation, it was important to address those concerns. We did those in 2008. You've all heard about the issues that came up from the changes that were made last year. And this provision, I believe, addresses all of those concerns. So let me just talk a little bit about what Green Acres is. Green Acres is a method for people to get preferential tax treatment on their land if they meet the criteria that we set out. Prior to 2008, those criteria were that you had to have agriculture income and had to be devoted to agriculture and producing a crop. That would be hay or grass or pasture, row crops, etc. When we made the changes, those parcels would have still been included in Green Acres, but there were a number of parcels that were not considered agriculture that would have been removed from the Green Acres program. Now, we've tried to address all of those issues. For the agriculture land, the land that meets the traditional definition of agriculture, we did the changes that were brought forth as requested. We have included CRP and RIM and other conservation programs in the Green Acres program. We've removed the clawback from 7 years to 3 years, back to what it was before. We returned to the ability of farmers to transfer land to their children without having a reapplication process for Green Acres. And we did deal with the issue of a tax payment when the rules had changed on the land. So in this bill, people that choose to not be in the Green Acres program will not be required to pay any clawback for 1 year, and that is retroactive. Now that will deal with probably over 60% of the parcels that were in Green Acres. All of those parcels that Currently, we're in Green Acres that are having agriculture production or agriculture crops raised on them of some kind. We'll remain in Green Acres and be just fine. But there is a percentage of the land that does not address. And so what I'm proposing is that we would start up another conservation program to give people preferential tax treatment, to allow them to shift their taxes onto other people in the jurisdiction for the value of those conservation lands. In order to receive that preferential tax treatment, we would ask that these people do a couple of things. One would be to develop a conservation plan. The conservation plan would include aerial photo, a legal land description, current land uses, and proposed future land uses. After that, they would then put a covenant on those parcels that they would not be outside of that conservation plan for a period of 8 years. If somebody would choose to get out of the covenant, they have to wait 4 years in order to apply to get out, and then 4 years in order to get out. And that at that time, there would be a 3-year payback payback of taxes, the same as in the Green Acre program. But if an individual does choose to sell his land while they're in the conservation program, the covenant is transferable to the new owner. Now, that program will take care of probably another 30% or probably 90% of the parcels that were removed from Green Acres. So there is a very small little part of parcels that did not meet the ag classification or do not have 10 acres contiguous to get into the conservation program, and I do have an amendment to help us address that issue. But Mr. Chair, at this time, before I offer the amendment to address that issue, I do have a technical amendment that I would like to offer. It's the A-12 amendment.
Secretary will report. What's the number again, Senator Scoy?
The A-12.
Secretary will report the Scoy A-12 amendment.
And Mr. Chair and members,
Senator,
this truly is a technical amendment to,
what did you want to do?
Have the language clear, and so we're giving the department clear direction on where to go with Green Acres. I had the next amendment drafted originally into this amendment, but that one does not meet the technical definition, so I'll offer that separately.
Senator Scoy moves to amend House File 392, the unofficial engrossment, as follows. Page 13, line 5. This is Amendment A-12.
Discussion on the amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Now, members, I've talked to you about there will be some parcels that, if we do not make a change, would be removed from any program to receive preferential treatment. And these are parcels that are smaller than 10 acres, but that are part of a larger parcel that would have qualified for the old Green Acres program. And I think that when we think about what's going on with regard to this program and whether we should move forward rapidly or quickly, or repeal altogether, we should consider that these people are going to make land use decisions this spring, and we need to put some guidelines in place so that these people that have less than 10 acres of ag land but have a larger parcel should be able to continue to qualify for this preferential tax treatment. So I'd like to offer the A-17 amendment, which says that the 10-acre minimum requirement does not to be considered for parcels that have more than 10 acres and did apply for the Green Acres previously. And this will address those parcels where we were concerned that as they go into this spring, they would be making changes to their land in order to qualify for Green Acres by changing the nature of the land from in order to meet the ag classification.
Okay, Senator Scoy, we're a little out of order, but the Secretary will report the A-17 amendment.
Senator Scoy moves to amend House File 392, the unofficial engrossment, as follows. Page 11, after line 14, insert. This is amendment A-17.
Okay, discussion on the Senator Scoy's A-17 amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Erickson Ropes, did you have a...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have the A-18 amendment.
Secretary will report Senator Erickson Ropes' A-18 amendment.
Senator Erickson Ropes now moves to amend House File 392, the unofficial engrossment, as follows. Page 10, delete Section 1 and insert. This is Amendment A-18.
Senator Erickson Ropes on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a full repeal amendment, or a nearly full repeal. There was a couple minor technical things that never were of interest to people, but my amendment is a repeal amendment for the Green Acres changes that were made in the 08 session. I still continue to have some concerns about the bill, but I do want to thank Senator Scoy for being very cooperative and working together. He's put together a lot of really great changes and addressed many of the serious concerns that ag owners had about falling out of the Green Acres program. He's done a great job, so I really appreciate that, Senator Scoy. I think you put together a pretty good bill. However, I still do have farmers in my district that have some concerns with the program. We really would like to do a really thorough job on this, and I'm putting forward a repeal amendment to that effect. Thank you.
Discussion on Erickson Ropes' A-18 amendment. Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members. I think most of you have received letters from Farm Bureau and Farmers Union, and while originally I believe they did support full repeal, they do also recognize the need and the urgency to move quickly this year because, as I said earlier and I addressed in the A-17 amendment, people are going to make land use decisions this spring. I know there's snow on the ground now, but it is melting, and people will be making decisions, and I think it would be better for us to fix the issues that we have in there. Members, be aware that this tax change does not go into effect until 2013. And so, as with all legislation, if there is some small issues that do arise, we do have a number of years and a fair amount of time to deal with it. But we should put up some goalposts to give these landowners some direction as to which the way the legislature is going to go with regard to this preferential land treatment program.
Senator Cook.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I would just like to speak in favor of the Erickson Ropes amendment, very similar to an amendment I offered to a tax bill earlier in the year. I completely agree with Senator Scoy that we need to move quickly, but I think that the repealer is the way to go. Let's repeal these changes, get people back to where we were, instead of trying to fix the changes, which in the tax chair box word said caused angst. I think angst is putting it mildly in what the changes caused last year. So let's go back to the beginning. Let's repeal. Let's give farmers, let's give tax counties some base from where to start. And then if we want to work on these changes may be good, they may be not, Senator Scoy. I just don't think that there's been enough time to get them through the committee process, to take them home, for people to see practically how this is going to affect them economically, agriculturally, and frankly, environmentally. I would point out a letter that was sent to Senator Pogemiller and Speaker Kelleher from 22 environmental groups that support the repealer, and that was dated February 17th. Among those are the Audubon Society, a League of Women Voters, Fresh Energy, the Sierra Club, all supporting the repeal. So thank you for bringing this amendment, Senator Sharon Ropes, and I would urge a green vote.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would speak against the amendment. Mr. Chair and members, I thank Senator Skoy for working pretty hard on this bill, both last year and then this year as well. I'm not sure that if we actually do a full repeal, we'll get the desired effect and outcome. We would go back to a lot of the confusion that existed beforehand. That was a fundamental flaw of how Green Acres was administered and operated, and that was made clear by the Legislative Auditor's Report. To be sure, there is a great deal of emotion and anxiety and upset across Minnesota, but, you know, I lay that more at the feet of Department of Revenue and county assessors for not communicating very clear and not administrating this program in a very consistent basis. And frankly, there's been tremendous effort over the past couple of years to address the problems identified in Legislative Auditor's Report, and then as consequences that maybe weren't foreseen came to light during the interim, a lot of conversation, a lot of discussion and effort to work on that. And Senator Skoy's amendment reflects a lot of that. In fact, I've had conversations with some of the environmental groups that Senator Koch just cited and worked through, provided the language, talked about it, and they all have said, you know, this pretty much addresses, from an environmental perspective, the issues that they're concerned about and the issues that, of course, have been getting my attention and my concern and the reason I've engaged with Senator Skoy. For example, this distinction between the productive and non-productive land becoming ineligible and having that fall out of the Green Acres, you know, the wooded areas, the wetlands, the buffers to wetlands, the stuff that would fall out of Green Acres and then provide an incentive for those farmers to cut down those woods or till up to the edge of the water and take that land out of an environmental purpose, a conservation purpose. That's directly addressed and very adequately, very handily, and a very smart way by Senator Skoy. It's a qualification for the Conservation Reserve Program or the RIM programs. That's addressed as well. The transfer of the sale to your heirs, that's addressed. And setting some standards for how we're conserving and preserving this land, that's well addressed. And making sure that we're actually providing a public good over a period of time, that's addressed by how the easement works and how you enter and how you exit. Plus, he, of course, suspended any of, you know, we folks have some time now to really look at what the provisions are, decide where they what they want to do without penalty. So he's done tremendous work to really address those concerns that have been articulated, and it pretty much does that. So, you know, I don't understand the call to repeal from the environmental groups. I think they just need a little bit more time to have conversation, which, of course, we've been doing over the past couple of weeks. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Koch on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Dibble, that's precisely what the repealer will allow for. I'm glad that you've had conversations with these different groups and are feeling better about it. I'm feeling better about these changes, but I would like those conversations to take place in the full light of day in a committee hearing. That's what I would like to see. All I'm saying is let's repeal these changes and then continue to work and have committee hearings and fully vet this and allow the people at home a full chance to review what's going on here and decide for themselves whether these are good or not.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Torres-Ray. Senator Koch, before I recognize.
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to request a roll call.
There'll be a roll call. Senator Torres-Ray. Did you get your microphone on? Grab the other one next. But stay in your own seat. But
thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I wanted to make sure that I asked the question to Senator Skoy again, because my understanding is that if we adopt the repealer, we are not addressing the concerns that were presented to us by the auditor's office. And the intent here and the work that Senator Skoy has done really addresses those issues. And I want to make sure, I have received many calls from my constituents who are very concerned about the conservation pieces attached to this proposal today. And I heard very clearly from you, Senator Skoy, that we are addressing that, and that is why you the amendment that you presented before us today addressed the 10% that was not included. So, Senator Scoy, I beg your patience, but I would like to ask you to repeat that because I think some of my constituents are confused about that. So if you could tell us again, explain to us what is the proportion, again, the land that we are addressing today, 90% of it, and the 10%, if you could do that again. Thanks.
Let me see three hands for a roll call. Three hands. Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Torres-Ray. I have a copy of the legislative auditor's report here, and as I look down their recommendations, they recommend that the legislature should clarify who and what type of properties should benefit from green acres. We've clarified this, that the 2A or the land that's traditional agriculture would be in the green acres program, and then the other lands that are in that class of property, the 2B lands, which is the rural vacant lands, those would be eligible for the conservation program. They recommend that we replace the minimum income criteria for green acres. We've eliminated that. They recommend that the program be implemented consistent statewide, and that is part of the changes that we did in 2008 was to require all assessors across the state to implement this program, and if we repeal that, that would go away. They also recommend that we are more have more ability to preserve the land for the long term, and hence the covenant that we're being asked to be put on some of these conservation lands. People would be asked to put this covenant on so that we would have a little more assurance that it would stay in that use. And then they said that we should also deal with spending issues with regard to that, and while this is a local issue, we are trying to make sure that the dollars are uniformly applied within the jurisdiction and for a good reason. So thank you for your question.
Further discussion on the amendment? Secretary Will, Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Scoy and members, I rise to speak in favor of the Erickson Ropes Amendment. Perhaps if we would have had more time to invite the public to the Tax Committee on the day this provision was included on the Tax Federal Conformity Bill, it might have been a different issue. But when an amendment with the scope and size of the Green Acre proposal was added to the Federal Conformity Bill, there's no time to get the public to come in and tell us what's wrong with the Green Acre status. We've heard anecdotal evidence. I've heard it from my own district. We have, as you know, this time of year is when the estimates of your next year's tax or this coming year's tax comes due. You get the warning card of what the new tax assessment's going to be and what your new taxes are. Based on what happened last year, I've seen these estimates as high as doubling the property tax for these homeowners. This is a major provision in this bill. I believe that Senator Erickson Ropes is correct in removing it and moving back to the repealed status. We have the time right now to correct it and do this issue right. I agree with Senator Scoy, and I've mentioned it in debate before earlier this year. We do need to move quickly, but we need to move rightly. This adds more confusion to certainly the property taxpayers. It adds more burden to the system itself. I don't think it's the right way to go. It needs more discussion. And if we would have given the public a little bit more public notice that this provision was going to come to the Tax Committee, maybe we would have had a more perfected document in front of us to do the right job for the public. I applaud Senator Erickson Ropes for bringing this forward, and I appreciate the work that she's attempting to do. I would urge all members to vote yes for the Erickson Ropes Amendment.
Further discussion, Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Limber, with regard to the process, both Senate File 386, my Green Acres bill, and Senator Metzen's Conservation Plan bill had extensive hearings in agriculture. We had over 2 hours of testimony and hearings in the Environment Policy Committee, and they were referred on to the Tax Committee, and so I felt it was appropriate to offer the amendment.
Senator Limber.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Scoy, that would have been fine if I was members of those committees and would have had the benefit of listening to the public about this issue. But there was no notice to the public that your amendment was going to be added to the federal conformity bill. Therefore, the public did not come to the Tax Committee to give testimony on your amendment. I'm not a member of those other committees, and I like to listen to the public to determine whether or not it's an appropriate measure. Anything that we do is an appropriate measure for them to respond to. Is it the correct way to go? Should we have conservation districts have a more influence on this policy as opposed to what the policy was before? There's many questions here that remain unanswered, and because of me simply being a Tax Committee member, I didn't have that benefit of listening to the public's reaction to your bill/amendment. In order to have proper tax policy, we need to have informed research so that we can make the right decision. At least for the members of the Tax Committee, I don't believe that was satisfied.
Further discussion on the amendment. Secretary will take the roll on the Erickson Ropes amendment. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 27 ayes, 34 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Further,
Mr. Chairman,
discussion. Senator Dill.
Is it Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Chairman, we're in the full committee.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to ask Senator Scoy a question.
Sure. Senator Scoy will listen to your question and answer it.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Scoy, I thought I heard you say that in the land conservation property tax option that you've got in the bill, that tax advantage is passed on to the succeeding owners, or is passed on when the farm is sold. But on the case of the Green Acres program, at least the way I'm trying to understand this, I see in the bill there's a provision to allow it to be passed on to a son or daughter, but I don't see... Could you explain, if I understand this correctly, where the Green Acres program, the provision is, the tax advantage is passed on to the son or daughter, but not to everybody else, but I think you mentioned the conservation land property tax program, it would be passed on to all succeeding owners. Is that correct?
Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Dill, for the transference, if you are if your land meets the criteria for green acres, the transference to a child isn't an issue because it would just be green acres criteria eligible before the transfer and also afterwards. It's only if you have part of the land that doesn't meet the criteria for green acres that it's an issue. When the individuals who signed up for green acres signed up 20, 30, 40, 10, whenever years ago, they could transfer. There was four reasons to not require reevaluation of green acres eligibility. It was death, divorce, marriage, or transfer to a child. With this bill, we have restored those four criteria. Now, with regard to the conservation program land, the reason it's different for those is because they have a covenant on their land. And the covenant is what would be transferable. But if they were to leave the program, then they would have a 3-year clawback. Does that answer your question?
Senator Dill.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Scully, it sort of answers it, but I guess my opinion would be that on the Green Acres program, it would be nice if it could be transferred to a grandson, granddaughter, and not just to a son or daughter, or to some other family member. And I'm not sure if I clearly understand if that's the case.
Senator Scoyer.
Mr. Chair and Senator Dill, you can do that as long as the land is eligible for the program without any issue. It's only when the parcel is non-conforming that it becomes an issue. And then you can, then for marriage, death, divorce, and transfer to a child would not require you to be reevaluated. And so, and that is exactly the same as it was when whoever signed the Green Acres contract originally, when it was signed, those were the conditions that did not require reevaluation.
Okay, thank you.
Senator Dill. Further discussion on the Senator Olsen, did you have a? Senator Koch.
Mr. Chair. Will Senator Scoy yield?
He will yield. Senator Koch.
Senator Scoy, I'm just wondering if there's a possibility that there were folks that responded to last year's legislation, perhaps felt sort of pressured by it, and made some decisions on their land. Is there provisions in the changes to address those issues? Would it become retroactive for them? Would they be put back in the program? How do you address that issue, and what were the discussions in committee?
Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Koch. I'd look for the provision, but in brief, what we have done is from the passage of the bill last year to January 1st of 2010, any changes, if somebody had made a change and they'd had to pay back part of the taxes, they would actually get their money back from the county.
Senator Olsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I voted for the repeal, and it's mainly because of the comments made by Senator Erickson Ropes and Senator Koch. I think the big concern for me was that there was a big change with this the conservancy part of the bill, but having voted for the repeal and not being successful, I will be supporting the bill. My only concern is that we make a really concerted effort to get out to the people of Minnesota about what these changes are, especially the rural folks, so that they understand that there is this opportunity for the conservation portion of it. It's virtually the same thing to protect their land. But Senator Scoy, if you could address the 2013, I don't remember if you addressed that, the year.
Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Olsen. Yes, these tax provisions will go into law, but they will not take effect until 2013. We're doing that for a couple of reasons. It's kind of a soft landing, but it will allow landowners adequate time to adjust to the changes. If anybody chooses to get out until 2010, there would be no clawback at all, so people could get their non-conforming parcels conforming. But then after that, we do have some requirements. If people are moving from the Green Acres to the conservation program, they have to have a conservation plan drawn up. We wanted to give them some time to accomplish that and not inundate those plan drafters. We just think that it's a reasonable thing to do to give a modest amount of time for these changes that we are implementing to occur over.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have the A8 amendment.
Does it have Senator Senjum's name on it? Is that the A8?
I think it may have Senator Senjum's name, but it's the A8, yes.
Okay. The Secretary will report the Hand A8 amendment.
Senator Hand moves to amend House File 392, the unofficial engrossment, as follows. Page 4, line 20. This is Amendment A-8.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members. I know we've been talking primarily since this discussion began about the Green Acres provision. This is an amendment more related to the main topic of this bill, which is tax conformity. And what this amendment does is it allows for Minnesota law to conform with federal law with respect to deductions for tuition and related expenses up to $4,000. And also a $250 deduction for educator expenses. And so members, in the effort to try to make our laws be more in line with the federal tax laws, this is a good amendment. This is recognizing the expenses people have for educational purposes. We are allowed to deduct those from our federal tax liability. It only makes sense to also do this for Minnesota tax liability. My understanding is that there is a cost of, if you want to count this as a cost, but is a reduction in tax collections of about, I think, a total of $28 million. We do currently have a surplus in this biennium. And so, Mr. Chairman, I would encourage that the members accept the amendment.
We're on the A8 Hand Amendment. Senator Bach.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, Senator Hand, I'd be willing to consider your amendment if you're willing to pay for it. But the truth is, this amendment, members, costs about $28 million. I mean, we all know the deficit that we're facing, the difficult cuts we're going to have to make. This amendment, if it were to pass, would require an additional $28 million in cuts or in new taxes just to keep the budget balanced. And I really think, to my friends on the other side of the aisle, if you want to offer tax amendments that cost money, I think it would be helpful if you paid for them. And that can easily be done by proposing some additional revenue, call it a fee, call it a surtax, call it a tax, call it whatever you want. But if we're going to consider amendments to try, a bill needs to stay revenue neutral, needs to be paid for. So, members, this would be a very nice thing to do, and it might be something that we do in the omnibus tax bill. But in the omnibus tax bill, when that comes to the floor, if this provision is included, it'll have to be paid for. So, members, I encourage a no vote. This just simply adds an additional $28 million to the deficit in the next biennium, and uses $14 million in the current biennium.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And before I forget, I'd like to request a roll call vote for this provision.
Three hands for roll call. There'll be a roll call.
Thank
Senator
you.
Hamm.
Thank you, Senator Bach. I think it would be easier for us to know whether this makes sense or not if we had any idea of what the overall structure that the majority had in mind for the budget this year, which we don't have any idea at this point. So our thinking is that a $28 million stimulus to the economy by allowing people to take credit for their education expenses at the Minnesota level, the same way they do the federal level, only makes sense. And I'm sure we could find spending reductions that would offset that if we had some idea of where the majority wanted to go with the budget. But we don't, And so at this point, I think the issue is one of more what is our intention? Do we think this is a good idea to make our tax law in Minnesota conform to federal tax law with respect to these education expenses? So members, I encourage you to support the amendment. Let's make our law conform to federal law with respect to educational expenses.
Further discussion, Secretary will take the roll on the Hand Amendment. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary, close the roll. There being 20 ayes, 43 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Further discussion on the bill. Senator Vandiver.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have the A4 amendment.
Secretary will report the Vandiver A4 amendment.
Senator Vandiver moves to amend House File 392, the unofficial engrossment, as follows. Page 21, after line 31, insert Article 3. This is Amendment A-4.
Senator Vandiver.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, this is a capital equipment sales tax exemption. It's similar. It's the same as the governor has in his budget proposal. The purpose of it is to give employers a boost, an incentive to, if they're going to make purchases, if they're thinking about expanding at all, in 2010 only, through 2010, they will get back an immediate refund, or they won't have to pay the sales tax on that equipment at all. And this is... This is not a trick amendment. We have the money to pay for this. This is a down payment on jobs. This, we've heard a lot about investments and stimulus. This is truly an investment in creating jobs in Minnesota. It will give any employer an advantage who decides to make a capital equipment purchase today. So this is a great amendment. It's one we have the money for. And if we pay this, agree to do this now up front with the surplus that we have in 09, then we will certainly reap the benefits in the next 2 years. It's a difficult time for businesses right now. They could use this help and incentive. And I would ask for a roll call, Mr. President.
Three hands. Be a roll call. Senator Ingebrigtsen on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in favor of this amendment for a lot obvious reasons why Senator Vandiver explained, but it just seems to me that when the businesses in Minnesota, both large and small businesses, have got their backs up against the wall, capital is an issue. It just doesn't seem to make any sense to me that we would charge them a sales tax, and in fact they turn around and fill out a form and they get that back. It just doesn't make any sense at all. And I think small business right now is to the point where their margin is narrowed down to near nil, and we should not be putting this burden on small business or big business for that matter. So I certainly encourage the folks to vote for this amendment.
Senator Bach.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, Senator Vandiver, this is a good idea. And members, this is something the Tax Committee has spent a lot of time talking about it for my entire tenure, including my tenure on the Tax Committee on the House side. But this amendment costs, it's crafted a little differently than what the governor had in his budget, but it costs somewhere between $70 and $80 million in the upcoming biennium. And Senator Vandiver, I just want you to know, I really hope that we can find some agreement in the Tax Committee and on the floor to include a provision like this in the omnibus tax bill, where we have the opportunity to not only spend the money like the amendment does, but to find the corresponding revenue so that we can do this. This is the right thing to do. I'm hoping that we can find some revenue in the omnibus bill to do it. But for today, what it does is creates something north of a $70 million hole, an additional deficit in the upcoming biennium. So, members, I have to encourage you to vote no today, but I'm hoping you get a chance to vote yes on it later when it's paid for.
Okay, we're on the A4 amendment. Senator Vandiver.
Invest in jobs, members. Let's vote yes and do this. It's the right thing to do today. Help our businesses, our small businesses, our big businesses.
Secretary will take the roll on the A4 amendment. Well, that's sales tax. All senators. Having voted, desire to vote, secretary will close the roll. There being 30 ayes and 32 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Further discussion on the bill. Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have the A9 amendment.
Secretary will report the Hand A9 amendment.
Senator Hand moves to amend House File 392, the unofficial engrossment, as follows. Page 21 after line 31, insert Article 3. This is Amendment A-9.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And members, we've been all aware of the state of the economy and the state of our budget, and we are interested in finding ways to improve things. And this amendment is a direct way to do that. We currently have in law credits for research that are applicable only to corporations. And what this amendment does is allow those credits to be extended to all business entities, S-Corps, with the same kinds of restrictions that are currently in place on corporations. So, as we look at the economic climate that we're in and the need to encourage job growth, business growth, these are the kinds of things that do this. We allow all businesses the opportunity to invest in their business and use that investment to bring new products, new ideas to the marketplace, and, of course, that means bringing new employees to the businesses. So when we talk about how do we get the economy back on track, it is things like this that are going to do it. So, members, this is an important amendment. It takes a research and development credit that exists right now for corporations only, and it extends it to all businesses. And we ought to think about doing this. This is the right thing to do. This is a way to get our economy or send the signal to potential investors and people in our business economy to come to Minnesota, stay in Minnesota, invest in Minnesota, and hire people to work in Minnesota. So I urge your support, and, Mr. Chairman, I'd like a roll call vote.
Mr. President. Mr. Chairman.
Three hands. There'll be a roll call. Senator Corrine.
Mr. Chairman, would Senator Hand yield for a question?
He will yield. Senator Hand.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hand, how much is this going to cost is my question. Because I guess I think it's a good idea, but the only thing is being in the problems that we're having with the budget, I guess I need to go back home and explain to my constituents how, if somebody says, okay, how are you going to pay for that? I guess I'd like to know how much it's going to be.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Senator Coring. I do not have a fiscal note on this. My understanding is that whenever you're doing things like this, you are actually increasing business activity, which will bring greater tax revenues into the coffers of the state. That's not obviously the intent of tax laws to generate more money, but it will. I can't tell you when that will happen. I know how we score tax relief in the state budget. We count it as a negative, which I think is peculiar, but we do. And I can't tell you what the estimates are that this would sort of take off the tax roll as an immediate item. But there's no question that over some period of time, this will encourage growth, encourage investment, and actually increase tax revenue. So again, members, this is about business growth, investment in the private sector, employment in the private sector, and getting our economy back on track.
Senator Bach.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Han, you may have a good idea. And let me just suggest that you get it drafted into a bill, and I will commit to you a hearing in the Tax Committee. And when we request a hearing, to Senator Coring's point, we'll get a fiscal notice to what it costs. And I guess then we'll make a decision about what else we want to cut or what tax we want to raise in order to pay for it. But I think, Senator Han, it's pretty hard to ask members to vote for something when we don't know if it costs $50 million or $100 million or $200 million. But I know it's going to be a big number. And I just would suggest if you're really serious about it, get a bill drafted, and I will commit to hearing it in the Tax Committee. And by doing that, we'll find out what it costs. And then if we all think it's a good idea there, we'll figure out how we're willing to pay for it.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Senator Bach, thank you. In the, I'm sure, the unlikely event that my amendment is not adopted, I will get it drafted and bring it to your committee. But I think there's a good chance we may adopt this amendment here today because this is the right thing to do. I know we are all interested in finding ways to stimulate the economy, and I think anyone will admit that if you can find ways to encourage investment by the private sector in their businesses, that will result in growth in the economy and in tax revenues to the state. So members, I appreciate your offer, Senator Bach, and as I said, if by some chance we don't adopt it here today, I will bring the in a bill form to the committee.
Senator Dibble, did you have a – Senator Corrin?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to I think it's good that we're talking about different ideas, and I want to just thank Senator Han for that amendment.
Senator Han. Okay, we're going to vote on this Han amendment. That's the A9. Secretary will take the roll. We're on the Han Amendment. All senators having voted desire to vote, Secretary will close the roll. It'll be 20 ayes, 43 nays. The amendment is not adopted. Senator Fredrickson, do you have an amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I do. It's the A51 amendment. I would move the amendment.
Secretary will report the Fredrickson A51 amendment.
Senator Fredrickson moves to amend House File 392, the unofficial engrossment as follows, page 16, line 24. This is amendment A51.
Senator Fredrickson.
Chairman, members, this is technical. It's proper word usage. Deletes such in two different places, and in one place replaced it with a proper word.
Do you want a roll call on this, Senator Fredrickson?
Mr. Chairman, I don't think that's necessary.
Three ads. Senator Bach.
Well,
Senator Bach.
Mr. Chairman, in the spirit of bipartisan cooperation, having served for several years on the Environment Finance Committee with Senator Frederickson. I'm very familiar with his word usage amendments, and I think he's got a good idea here. And Mr. Chairman, I don't think we need a roll call.
Well, I don't know. Senator Betzel has two hands. We need one more. all in favor of the A51 amendment, signify by saying aye. Opposed? Uh-oh. The amendment is adopted. Further discussion on the bill as amended. Senator Bach renews his motion that when this committee do arise at House File 392, as amended, be recommended to pass. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Are we continuing? The next bill on general orders, number 5 on general orders, Senate File 685, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 685 be recommended to pass.
Discussion on the bill, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate File 685 provides licensure for who are now registered respiratory therapists in Minnesota. Respiratory therapists, Mr. Chair, work primarily in hospitals.
Why don't listen here. Let's listen to Senator Dibble's bill if you're not interested, which you should be interested in this bill, but go
very
in the
interesting
back room.
Bill.
Senator Dibble.
Scintillating, Mr. Chair. Respiratory therapists work in all cases under the direction of physicians. However, of course, as we know, not all healthcare services are delivered in hospitals. They're in clinics, even in people's homes, a whole variety of settings now. Respiratory therapists, of course, care for critically and chronically ill patients. They manage ventilators. They conduct diagnostic tests. They assist in managing patient airways. Minnesota is the only remaining unlicensed state in the lower 48. The only other two are Hawaii and Alaska, and Alaska is just about to provide for licensure for respiratory therapists. It has been a registered profession since 1991. That's simply a title protection measure. That's been adequate for a while, but within recent years now, a number of folks have come in, are providing these sorts of services, evading regulation, and in fact, there have been some significant problems as a result of that. And there's an article at your desk that describes some of those problems and the state agency's desire to maybe have some better tools to deal with those. The bill simply moves a respiratory therapist from a registered to a licensed profession. And make sure that those who are practicing respiratory therapy are indeed regulating. That, of course, provides for proper training, continuing education, counseling if there are problems, and helps with the overall supervision by the Board of Medical Practice. There is no change at all in how exactly the profession will be carried out. They will continue to practice under the orders of physicians. No change in scope of practice, as I mentioned. The Board of Medical Practice, I did have an opportunity to speak with them. While they remain neutral, as they do on most bills of this type, did indicate to me very strongly that this will give them a tool to deal with the problems that they've come across as they've popped up. It gives them a very valuable enforcement tool. There is no fiscal impact to the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion on Senate File 685. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Dibble respond?
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Maybe a couple comments and then a question. I guess my understanding, we're the only state in the lower 48 that has not done this. I'm wondering why. The other one is that if we're going to be licensing, and they say there's no fiscal concern here, are we going to be charging a fee for license? Is that going to create a whole new area? And if it's going to create a whole new area in state government, who's going to administer it? Those are the questions I have.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I can respond to the second one, and I'll have to have you, Senator Ingebrigtsen, repeat your first one. I didn't quite make it out. There will be a fee, as there is now for registration. So it's just simply replacing registration for licensure, and so it's not adding. It's just not adding a lot of work to the Board of Medical Practice. So the fees will continue to pay for that licensure program as they do now for the registry program. And then the first question.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Okay, I guess there was two left. I'm just wondering why we have not been a state that's jumped on this, why we're the ones lagging behind here, and also the so I'm understanding it, it's not going to be an administrative change of any kind then.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know why we've lagged so far behind. It's a good question. But it's turned out to be a problem in the last few years. So it's time to address that because, of course, as I said, folks are practicing respiratory therapy without the benefit of even the title and have run into some real trouble if you read the article. It's pretty shocking. And then there will be no administrative change. So there will be no additional costs.
Okay. Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Dibble renews his motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 685 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The next bill on the general orders will be number 9, Senate File 887, Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move that when this body do arise, Senate File 887 be recommended to pass.
Senator Skoy, discussion on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is the third of my 8 counties that are wanting to designate one of their roadways, a Veterans Memorial Highway. Norman County is proposing to designate State Highway 200 from the North Dakota border to Manoman as the Norman County Veterans Memorial Highway. There is method to this madness. Yeah. They will all connect and will have a interconnecting route of Veterans Memorial Highways up in the northwest part of the state, and I would ask for your support.
Further discussion on Senate File 887? Seeing none, Senator Skoy renews his motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 887 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The next bill on general orders, number 12, Senate File 265, Senator Kelosh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. 285 is a small bill. It's asking...
Make your motion when this committee do...
I'm sorry. I move Senate File 265.
When this committee do arise, Senate File 265 be recommended to pass. Senator Kelosh.
Yeah, this was this little glitch in the crime alerts was brought to me by one of my constituents. It involves having the proper form being sent out to folks with disabilities. In this case, he was blind. The crime alerts were not sent out; they were sent out in PDF format, and it's one of those that formats that his reader cannot recite to him. So this addresses some of that. The crime alerts are usually put into Word format before putting into PDF, and so it's just a matter of sending out to those citizens that have issues with receiving the crime alerts under the usual format to be allowed to get access to the same information. In many cases, there are some of the more vulnerable citizens that need this information even more. So,
any further discussion on Senate File 265? Seeing none, Senator Kelosh renews his motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 265 be recommended to pass. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The last bill on general orders, number 15, Senate File 978, Senator Erickson Ropes. Senator Erickson Ropes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When this committee do arise, I move that Senate File 978 be recommended to pass.
Senator Erickson Ropes, discussion on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a consensus bill that I bring to you today. It modifies some provisions in the Department of Human Services Licensing Act related to training Department of Human Services staff on sudden infant death syndrome and shaken baby syndrome. We expand the affected child's age range from simply infants to infants and children up to 5 years. And additionally, the bill requires staff training for people who take care of these children. And we separate out the training requirements between SIDS training and shaken baby syndrome.
Further discussion on Senate File 978. Seeing none, Senator Erickson Ropes renews her motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 978 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee do now rise and report.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move the report of the Committee of the Whole as kept by the Secretary be now adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator, are we on announcement? Senator, remaining under motion, Senator Scheid, do you have a motion to make?
Mr. President, thank you. I move that Senate File 1004 on general orders be stricken and re-referred to the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight.
Okay, we're giving a very brief description going forward on these bills, so people
Mr.
know what
President,
they're doing.
That's fair enough. This was the construction code bill yesterday that I mistakenly said could come to the floor, and it has rulemaking in it. It needs to go. So it was in the Business, Industry, and Jobs Committee, and it needs to go to Senator Rest's committee.
Okay. On that Scheid motion, Senator Scheid motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. I think that's the work at the desk. Now we'll, without objection, we'll have announcements of Senate interest. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Senate Higher Ed Committee will meet in a different room. We're going to meet in 112 because Finance is going to be meeting in 123. And we will meet at 1 o'clock, and we will start right on the dot at 1 o'clock. We have bills today, members.
Senator Cohen.
Mr. President, Senator Pappas stole my thunder. The Finance Committee is going to meet right now. We're going to do Senator Langseth's bonding bill. I'm sorry, two o'clock. I meant. I'm sorry. I read the time incorrectly. I'm sorry, Senator Higgins.
Now, without objection, Senator Rest, Senator Parasol, Senator Ortman will be excused from today's session all day. And Senator Saltzman from 12 to 12:10, Senator Senjum from 11:35 to 12:10. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, members, I'm going to call for a recess rather than adjournment because we are going to accept the Finance Committee report. If they pass that bonding bill, we would accept that on the floor. So that's just for paperwork. Members do not have to come back later. We will come back Monday, March 16th at 11 a.m. So we just need a skeleton crew later this afternoon after the Finance Committee.
Those are the real thin people? No. All right. Without objection, Senator Day will be excused from today's session at 12 o'clock to the end.
Do you have a motion? Do you have an announcement?
Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Transportation Committee will meet at 1 o'clock in room 15.
Okay. Now, Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, another two announcements. For your calendar, we are going to meet on Wednesday the 18th. On Wednesday the 18th. And the 24th and 25th are at noon. 24th and 25th are at noon. We'll get that out in an email, but just want to give you a heads up. In addition, we have a member who is celebrating a threshold birthday today and are amongst us. He's on the telephone right now. But Senator Dahl's birthday is today, apparently. Apparently you have a birthday today.
Yeah, for 78 years old, you look pretty good.
Mr. President, then I move to recess to the call of the chair. And again, that's just for a skeleton crew this afternoon, members.
Okay, on the motion to recess, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senate stands.
President, is there any work at the desk?
There is. Without objection, we'll revert to reports of committees. Fifth order, the business.
Senator Cohen from the Committee on Finance, to which was re-referred Senate File 781, a bill for an act relating to capital improvements, authorizing spending to acquire and better public land and buildings and other improvements of a capital nature with certain conditions, reports the same back with the recommendation that the bill be amended, and when so amended, the bill do pass.
Senator Pogemiller?
Is there any other? I move that the committee report be adopted.
On that motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. All opposed, same side. Motion is adopted. Next order of business is second reading of Senate bills.
Senate file number 781.
Second reading. Are there any announcements?
Madam President, if there's no other work at the desk and no announcements, I move the Senate adjourn till Monday, March 16th. Boy, that's one day before.
Senator Pogemiller, can we hold off on that for 1 second? Let's do excuses, if that's okay. I thought you said we did. Excuse me. We can go back to how far away we're going to be. Go ahead, Senator Pogemiller.
You know what March 17th is, Madam Chair. Are we ready to?
Yes.
I move that the Senate adjourn till Monday, March 16th, 11 a.m.
All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye. Opposed, same side. Senate's adjourned.